for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday morning, July the 4th, 2007. Clement Humbart is the speaker of this service, teaching on God's glory or your glory.
Who are these that are arrayed in white robes, and from where did they come? And he said to me, these are they who came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. Believers, look up. Father, remember that Jesus looked up and said, Father, give me the glory that I had before the foundation of the world. And we as believers look up. O Thou King of kings and Lord of lords, the great I Am, the miracle worker, that everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of whose kingdom there is no end. Thy majesty is throughout this universe. Thy glory covers this earth. And we as humble creatures of Thine humble ourselves before Thee, as even worms in the dust. But we lift our voice up to Thee in our heads and our eyes to the hills from whence cometh our help, the Lord God of Israel. And we exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, that King of kings and Lord of lords. We exalt that lily of the valley, the ever-perfect one, the Son of God, the Son of Man, and the Son of David, the King who is soon coming, the Blessed Redeemer, our Savior, our Priest, our High Priest, ever liveth to make intercession for us. Glorify Thy name, we pray. Lift us up to new heights. Take us to new depths and new breaths in Thee, Lord. And again we humbly ask, after everything is said and done, may no man be seen except that lowly Nazarene. And no voice heard except that still, small voice that always leads us back to the fold of God. And we'll be very careful to come back in Thy presence and give Thee the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen.
Amen.
In the book of Romans, of course, the book of Romans is the Constitution. Thank God for America and its Constitution. I spoke last Sunday before about 300 Spanish people explaining. Thank God they draped the American flag over the pulpit. But I spoke to them and told them America was entirely different from any nation that God has ever permitted to come upon this earth. Man's cry of freedom after bondage with Roman Catholicism in Rome for 1,000 years of dark ages. Man started crying out for freedom and liberty. And it probably, in modern times, it started with the Magna Charter about, the year maybe about 1,020 or somewhere along there, 100 or 1,010. And then if you'd read Fox's Book of Martyrs, if you'd take the time to check out of the library the story of liberty that was written in 1889, and if you would read From the Sea to the Shining Sea, a modern book by Peter Marshall and another co-author, you will get some idea how our history has been sanitized and edited today. I went to the big, beautiful library in Garland County. We often go there. And I searched, and I got one of the supervisors to help me search just recently for early American history, for artist drawings, for the truth, how God sent these people seeking God to the Pilgrim colony in 1620. There's practically no material in the library at all. Finally, to some kids' books, little cartoons. Then it's all edited and sanitized. They don't want you to know that this nation has been founded upon principles of God and the divine word of Almighty God. It's time that Christians spoke up and took this nation back for God.
Amen.
We've had enough of this sloth and division and all the rest. The Constitution of the United States guarantees to this moment these freedoms. Let's exercise them. You can believe God and God's divine word. It's no one else's business, long as you're not harming anyone. You believe the word of God. Then number two, you practice the word of God in your everyday life. Never mind what they do and other people do or dead, dry church members. You live for the Lord Jesus Christ and become a shining light. He said, I am the light of the world and your light's in the world. Not only to believe, but not only to practice, but also, and here's where the liberals have scared believers to death. You have the right under constitutional right in the Bill of Rights, you and the amendments, you have a right to propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a right in the workplace. You have a right in the schools. They are liars. They are liars. This nation was built upon freedom. And that freedom is God's word can be read. Man can serve God according to the dictates of his own conscience. Don't let them smother you. Don't let them bind you. Stand up and be counted. Live for God, propagate the gospel, and believe the cardinal truths in the Word of God. Amen. Well, I'm going to say amen. I know good preaching when I hear it. I happen to mention that in the Word of God and in spiritual law, the Book of Romans is our constitution. Book of Romans. It says it all until the last three benedictions that Paul gave. Isn't unusual. In that book, he gave three benedictions. Looked like one had been enough. But you, in last chapter 15, and he gives three benedictions. That's not my sermon, but he said, even after all this, there's something else that you don't know yet, and it's a mystery. If you think you've got it all and know it all, I feel sorry for you. They get the street language now. Kids language. You're a blowed up sucker. Well, Brother Clement, I got the Holy Ghost. Did you know Jesus said when the Holy Spirit will come, He'll teach you. You've entered the ABC class. You hadn't graduated when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, He said the Holy Spirit won't talk about Himself. He'll talk about Christ. And He'll remind you of the past, the present, and the future. God has a new step of faith for every person in this place. God has a new step of obedience for all of us. And the most dangerous thing, here's the quickest way to backslide, hold your own. There's no such thing as holding your own. Spirituality is evaporative to me. Leave some cleaning fluid or gasoline out in an open pan. Come back and see what you have. It's dry. Any business, any church, any group, when you hold your own, you're not gaining. Everything it takes in the natural. For example, you and I see it often. We see a restaurant. All at once they branch out a little. Oh, they're so good. The price is right. But what happens? It hits walls. Then all of these eggs. Let's leave out the butter out of those mashed potatoes. Now, let's put those mashed potatoes, half of them fresh, but the others, we're going to mix up the powder and then mix them. And now, you used to give a coffee or an iced tea with the meal. Don't do that anymore. Charge them $1.99 or $1.29. See, the drink used to always come. But here, I've got to be brief. Now, here's what happens. Before long, a syndicate gets that stuff. And you go in, you say, I can't believe it. I can't hardly eat this stuff. It used to be so good all across America. See, in religion, it's almost the same. Everything that goes on in the natural world goes on in the spiritual. Now, I've said this for 50 years. Or it's right opposite of what goes on in the natural. It's either parallel. I don't care, politics, military, anything else. The natural and the spiritual. And it's proved in Joel, it's proved in Deuteronomy, that the natural and the spiritual, for example, it said joy has lost from the sons of men. But read it, and it said the fields are all dried up. Nothing's producing. Then it tells why. Because joy has dried up among the sons of men. So when we think we've attained now, we just got to hold our own. There's no such thing. My dad, a minister for over 50 years, said it's like riding a bicycle. You keep pedaling or you get off. And there's so many people have to say, oh, bless God, I remember 29 years ago when, oh, God sanctified me holy and filled me with the Holy Spirit, the happiest time I've ever had since. But you forgot to say 28 years ago how you backslide and had a big cussing fuss with your next door neighbor. No wonder the Bible said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Open the Bible an hour from now and it says, be filled with the Spirit. Filled and refilled. Some of us are filled, but we're thimble capacity. And we get on our little carousel. Round and around and around we go, riding our little hobby horse. Two or three scriptures and our little hobby horse. And you know what it'll take you? Mayor go around a carousel, take you in a little circle. We need to get on the white horse of the Holy Spirit and get out of here and get things done for the kingdom of God. Now, in the book of Romans, Apostle Paul took seven chapters and didn't even mention the Spirit. Not a word about the Holy Spirit. Oh boy, we'd get him straightened out, wouldn't we? Paul, now in verse 2, you got to mention the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Aren't we smart, Alex? Paul didn't say a thing about the Holy Spirit. You know, in most of Paul's greetings, he didn't say a thing about the Holy Spirit. He said, I greet you in the name of the Father, Son. Read his epistles. He was ashamed of the Holy Spirit. But watch this. When he got to chapter 8, wow, 19 times in one chapter, the Holy Spirit. And in the 8th chapter says this, the Spirit Himself, well, in verse 1, and don't let them cheat you out of the last half of that verse. There are hundreds of manuscripts that have that, and just because there's two or three ancient manuscripts don't, they've tampered with some of those. And I can't go into, but scientifically, I can prove to you scientifically, and also Mark 16th chapter, every bit of it belongs in the Word of God. Historically and scientifically and spiritually with other verses of Scripture. In verse 1, he said, there is therefore no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, he said here, the Spirit, verse 16, the Spirit Himself. Now, don't chase me out here. I don't believe in the Trinity at all, like it's explained. Don't believe it. How many know what the Shema is? Hear ye, O Israel, the Lord thy God is three gods. What did he say? The Lord thy God is one God. Now you say, well, Brother Clem, that's simple. He manifests himself in three persons. I beg your pardon. Give me scripture and verse. He manifests and reveals himself in three personalities, not three persons. Did you hear me? In heaven, you're not going to meet God the Father, God the Son, and then, hello, God the Holy Ghost. Mark, I'm not trying to explain, and no one else can explain, the three in one and one in three, but the one in the center died for you and me.
That's right.
So Paul said, the Spirit Himself, would say, well, it uses a personal pronoun. Sure it does. So we human beings can grasp what God is trying through the inspired author of His Word tell us. You just can't talk about things out in the air. You've got to use subjectively, that's in the intuition and the inner man, and objectively things that our senses can comprehend or God couldn't reach any of us. We didn't know who we are or what we're doing or where we're going or where we've been. So he said, the Spirit himself beareth witness our spirit that we are what? Answer me, please. We are children of God. Say it. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We are sons of God. Jesus Christ, John the first chapter, the light, capital light of the world. He said, ye are lights in the world. His spirit bears witness in our spirit that we are sons of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. No, you don't believe it. You say amen, and I say amen, but we really don't believe it. And I'll show you why. Just keep your shirt on. If so be that we suffer with him. Some relative look criticize you about your religion. Oh, they've gone overboard in religion. Someone next door neighbor look cross-eyed at you. You say, I'm suffering for Jesus, my Lord. If we suffer with him, we may also be what? Glorified together. Continue. For I reckon the suffering in this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. Someone read it. Oh, I thought it was to us. In the sweet by and by, we'll eat pie in the sky. Devil's robbed us long enough, folks. Man-made religion has robbed us too long. Headquarters and hindquarters and the hierarchy, they're scared of the fire. They're scared of the Holy Spirit, truly, because it'll start revealing things. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come, He'll convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And we claim Holy Spirit is in a service. That's great. Let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do, signs, wonders, and miracles. But let me tell you, if it's a public service and there's no convicting of sin or righteousness or judgment, the Holy Spirit hasn't been there, or else we got in the way. We're heirs. We're joint heirs with Christ. And if we suffer with Him, we will be glorified with that glory that shall be revealed in us. The revelation of God, of Christ, of God, the Holy Spirit is to us, in us, and through us. I've mentioned this before, Galatians 1:15, Paul said, I thank God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in Him that I might preach the gospel to the meek. Now, you've been told all your life you're saved to tell others. That's the cart before the horse. That's not true. We've messed up the kingdom of God. Sure, go and tell what the Lord's done, but don't run out, well, I got a witness for Christ, witness or something else. Paul said, God separated me from my mother's womb and saved me by His grace. That salvation by the Lord's grace is God revealing His Son to him. Three simple little words. He reveals Himself to us that we might know. And that know doesn't mean just human knowledge. It's intimate relationship. That we might know Him. He said He revealed His Son. Then, save me by His grace. That's Jesus Christ revealed to the disciple or the apostle. That He might reveal His Son in me. To you that you might know. In you that you might be. And boy, we miss it here. I have people from out of state and I ministered to them until 11:30 last night. But they've been trying to run across me for a long time. Actually, I'm supposed to be in Dallas these 3 days. Reservations and all the rest. Don't try to figure it out or anything. God needs some minute men in the kingdom of God. I've gone overseas one time in 15-minute notice. I keep a passport. Well, I'm a long-range planner. Well, in these closing days of time, things accelerate. You better get out of the way or you're going to get run over. God needs some minute men that can hear from God and instantly obey. And when God speaks, normally the general rule, it's for instant obedience.
That's right.
Don't get your prayer partners all on the phone. I don't know if I've heard from the Lord or not. Would you test the Spirit with me? Keep your mouth shut and obey God. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. The Bible said, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. I'll save that just for for a little later. But we're heirs and joint heirs, and the glory to be revealed in us. Paul said Christ is revealed to him that he might know, in him that he might be. And then he said that I might preach, that's through him, that he might do. Did you hear it? Even the Holy Spirit, God's dynamic power on the day of Pentecost. Now people say, nobody had the Holy Ghost the day of Pentecost. Please shut up and read your Bible. Oh God, if we can't be spiritual, Lord, please help us to have some common horse sense. David spake by the Spirit. Peter said that the prophets of old spake of Christ and His suffering by the Spirit which was in them. You can't have the Spirit on you unless you have it in you. And you can't have it in you unless you have it on you. But the day of Pentecost, it's not going to be a just special vessel, or priest, or king. It's going to be upon all flesh. Now, do you see the difference? It's going to be upon all flesh. So, Christ is revealed to you. And the same thing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is revealed to you that you might know. In you that you might grow up and be a real child of God. Have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Be God's ideal Christian. Christian character. Tell the truth. Keep your mouth shut. You know what you're talking about. The Bible said, speak evil of no man. The Bible said, the ninth commandment didn't say, don't tell a lie. It said, don't bear an evil report. Sure, it's wrong to lie. But you don't even have to tell, be the originator of the lie. Just peddle it. Just peddle the lie. All right, the Holy Spirit's here that we might know, that we might be, and then we might do. It's not by might nor power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Don't you get sick and tired of all of us getting in the... Oh, we pray and say, now, Lord, let your Spirit come in this meeting. Oh, God, you take charge. And we get up and just strive and fight and everything else. And even in soul winning, God weaned me off of this many years ago. Invitation, salvation is not an auctioneer thing. Is there another hand in that balcony? Is there another hand over here? Is there, oh, now, who'll give me $5? Who'll give me $6? Who'll make it $10? Why don't we preach the Word and get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit do His work, do His job?
Come on.
It grieves, it breaks your heart. In my soul-winning crusades, God led me many years ago. People don't like it. And the charismatics and Pentecostals are the most nervous people when this happens. I preach, I stop, and normally I kneel down and say, Lord, if I found favor in your sight, grant me this mercy miracle. The soul nearest eternity here today, let your Holy Spirit call. Call that wayward son or that backslider, that prodigal son or daughter. Oh God, have mercy on us. Then they'll start the organ. I say, shh. They start the choir. People get nervous. Americans can't sit. Someone said that, I believe, Jerry McGee. Or he said it. They can't sit still 5 minutes before God. Got to have. Now, there's nothing wrong with rejoicing and singing and dancing and shouting. But God said, be still and know that I am God. The epistle said, study to be quiet. Isn't that silly? Well, I'm studying that. I'm had the gifts of the Spirit. I'm performing miracles. I've never heard a person come and say, Brother Clement, pray for me. I'm trying to learn this lesson. Study to be quiet. That's New Testament doctrine. There's 1,100 commandments in that New Testament. We better start listening. Like Glenn said, it's written. It's written. It's written. So people get so nervous, you know. So nervous. They want all that excitement every time. Americans got to be entertained, you know. If you can't take your Bible and go in a room and sit for hours in meditation or kneel in meditation, sometimes quit your little rigmarole. It's almost like Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. The Bible said, Jesus said, don't use vain repetition like the heathen do, and I'm trying to obey the Word of God. I'm not critical of everybody else. People ought to seek God, but we ought to get back to God's Word and use some sense on things. Time the Holy Ghost spoke around here. The Holy Spirit can speak English as good as it can Japanese. And it did. 13 times the book of Acts, it says, the Spirit said, and it uses their own language. The Holy Spirit can speak any language. And when you believe, thank God for what you said. When you believe Holy Ghost and only speak in a tongue. You're so mixed up, you're limited, the Lord God, and you're limited, the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't even want... Maybe you've done in innocence and ignorance, but I wouldn't even want to be in your shoes. Well, if it's not in a foreign language, ain't nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. Hey, do you need someone to slap you up the head? God's greater than all of this foolishness and nonsense. But that Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And then, listen at this, the glory shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation, King James, you say creature, waiteth for the what? Manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity. Read in verse 21, the creation itself also shall be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty. Now, any time the Word of God, the glorious liberty of the children of God, any time the New Testament, almost without exception, says the glorious gospel, the glorious liberty, it's a mistranslation. What it did say, and it says, for example, Ephesians 5th chapter, a glorious church, didn't say that in the original. It said the church of glory. It says the liberty of glory. It makes a difference in our mind. Our human mind, it makes a lot of difference. And even some translation says the glorious Father. In the New Testament, it starts in Acts and all the way through it says the Father of glory. And that is the Father of Shekinah glory. So, he speaks here, the glorious liberty. Let's notice something else. It said in verse 29, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Here's the sovereignty of God. Conform to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now notice this. Whom He did predestinate, verse 30, He also called. And whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also... It's past tense. We, as children of God, in the manifestation of God, we're already glorified and we don't have sense enough to know it. You say, brother, you're preaching kingdom now. I'm preaching grace and glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you see these miracles, you know the kingdom of God is nigh thee. You and I better be living in the kingdom. Everything that you have to pay a price for, it seems like, and everything that's really glorious, that religion and all of the books, everything throws it out in the next age instead of this age. God will take care of the next age. I'm not too interested in eating pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. I'm a little bit interested in the glory of God and the power of God right here in the now. Right here as you and I live upon this earth. I want to be an heir and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be one of those who are ordained, one of those who are predestinated. Oh, Brother Clement, you don't believe in that Presbyterian. I believe anything the Word of God says. The foreknowledge of God. God, you knew your name and He knew the second you would be born. Oh, Brother Clement. Well, Jeremiah 1:5, God said, I knew you and I called you to be a prophet before you was ever in your mother's womb. Either we're going to believe God or not believe God. Psalms 139, God said, I knew you before one member of your body was formed and every member of your body was numbered before you ever came into existence and before you were ever conceived, before your birth. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, it said, that the dust shall return unto the dust, or the earth. That's your physical body. The rest of that verse said the spirit shall return unto God, but they stop there, but the Word of God doesn't stop there. It says, the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and the Bible said, today is the day of salvation. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. If I've never heard the voice of God, how can I recognize it's His voice? You existed before you ever came to this earth. It's a great mystery of human existence. To be eternal this way, you had to be eternal that way. God called and ordained you to be an heir and a joint heir with Christ before you was ever conceived in your mother's womb.
Amen. Thank you.
What takes place through the natural, but through the spiritual, that spirit God gave it. From whence it came and who gave it? Who gave it? God. Someday that spirit will return unto God who gave it. Now if you want to change the word of God, you'll meet God someday and I'll meet Him someday. I don't want to cut part of it off, leave it out. Because Revelation tells me what will happen to me. And I don't want to add to it because it tells me what will happen. The judgment and the torment of Almighty God and punishment will be added to me. So, He foreknew you. Then He predestinated you. To be what? Heaven, hell? No. You're a free moral agent. But He predestinated you to be conformed to the image of Christ. Paul said in Galatians 4:19, I would travail in the Spirit until the full image of Christ formed in you. Again, he said, you know, there's water of the Word, milk of the Word, and meat of the Word. And he said, I can't give you meat, you're still little babes. Practically every one of us in this room is still a little babe in Christ. Now, it's wonderful to have part of the child, the good part, remain in humility and obedience, and you're teachable and correctable. But to be childish is foolish. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 13th chapter, he said, when I was a child, I acted like a child, spake like a child, but when I got to be an adult, grown, I put away these childish things. He continued that in chapter 14, and he used the same expression when he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He's evaluating the gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. He said, greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh in the tongue. And then he said, now, if one speak in tongue, two and three, he said, let not only three. It's unscriptural for a whole congregation to stand and speak in tongues. I didn't write the Bible, but according to Paul, that's unscriptural. And we have it all the time. Well, bless God, it's a prayer language. Well, what is it? Well, it's a tongue, an unknown tongue. Paul said, let you sit down and shut up and pray that you might interpret. So I'm not going to be guilty of doing some of these things. It's real popular today. And some of my dear friends, and I love them, I don't have it all, I don't know it all, but I do know part of it, and I want to get it straight and keep it straight. And he shows there that if you're obsessed with tongues, he shows you're a little baby in Christ. Read 1 Corinthians 14 chapter with an open mind. But God set these things in the church. Verse 28 in chapter 12, and they'll be in the church, the rapture of the church. And he speaks that, since I'm on this, I just got to finish it in a minute or two. 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, he said God set these things in the church. And look how he lists them. The least smallest thing is tongues and interpretation tongues. The last, the least, not the biggest, the greatest. The most is the bestest. Now watch. Everybody in the charismatic and Pentecostal full gospel, so everybody has to talk in a tongue. Bless God, it's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. There's not one scripture in God's Word that said tongues is the evidence of the Holy Spirit. I'm not fighting tongues. I never spoke in a tongue in my life, but I sing in tongues and it's none of your business. First time I sang in tongues, I couldn't understand the English language after that. I thought I was losing it. Nobody's around. Nobody's beating me in the back. Nobody's yelling or screaming. I said, oh, Jesus, have mercy. I can't even understand it. And I couldn't understand a word of English. But the Bible answers it. He said, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, are all workers of miracles? The Aramaic Greek, the New Testament was written in, was the most exact language on earth. When you ask a question, you demand already a yes, or you demand a no. Not like we do. It's like this. You're going to attend that camp, aren't you, brother?
Yes.
You're one of the speakers, aren't you?
Yes.
See, that's the nearest thing I can get in English to the ancient language. So Paul said, are all workers of miracles? Then he put M-E in the Greek. He answered himself, it's not in our Bibles. No, he answers him. Are all have the gift of healing? M-E. No, Do all speak in tongues? Any? Yes, yes, hallelujah, glory to God. Everybody, you got to have this or you're deceived. No, it's the same Word of God. Now, people say, you're fighting that gift. I am not. I'm tired of the church pegged down to one little thing a whole lifetime for 100 years when we ought to be way on down the road for God. People say, I'm praying for none of the Pentecost, not me. We had one 2,000 years ago. We ought to be 2,000 years beyond Pentecost. Well, Brother Clement, let's pray for Holy Ghost revival. Well, I used to preach and pray for revival. And I've seen God turn cities and areas all around the world upside down for God. But I quit praying for revival. You say, boy, that's good because the revivals don't last. Neither does a bath, but you need one once in a while. But here's what I mean. Revival will only get you back where you were. It'll have a little excitement and fringe to it. We need to go beyond a revival. We need to go beyond in the next step of faith for this generation. Time is running out and there's millions of lost and there's millions that are bound and there are millions that are demon-possessed while we're playing spiritual mommy pig and patting her little blessings and a little bit of gore merry-go around this, that, and the other. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord.
You know what the Bible said? I think this is going to be good. How many still love me? I don't care if you do or not. I mean in the final analysis.
I'm no arrogant, hateful individual, but if you never shake hands with me again, and even if you blackguard me, I won't say one word. And if someone comes and says, you know, after that sermon, Glenn said he'd never have you to preach again, Clement, this, that, and the other. You know what I'd say? God bless Brother Glenn. He's a man of God, and I love him with all of my heart. I'll tell you why. It's that full image of Christ he wants formed in us. Not just to know about him, but you are formed over in the righteousness of Christ. And then you're in a position through you, to you, in you, then through you, to minister to others. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God doesn't want some guy on television telling 1,000,000 people, you send me money so I can go into all the world. He wants 1,000,000 people to go into all the world. Now, if you'll send me the $100 gift this week, I'm going to send you these latest tapes. Number one, you've got to have this book. Thank God for Christian books and tapes that amount to something but some of your tapeworms. I had a man that God is dealing with. He's the first time he ever heard me. It's a few years ago. He's back here on the aisle. I'd never met him. He threw his head back and he wept all the time I was preaching. A fellow sitting next to him wept all the time. From Louisiana, wept all the time. I looked over here, and there's an aged man, and he had his head back like this, but tears, and he kept his head there the whole time. I didn't say anything to make people weep, but the Spirit of God is here. That one fellow that I was talking about, he said, wonder if somebody can use all this, as all his books and tapes he had bought. See, Christ said, and he warned, they'll say, Christ is here, Christos, the anointing is here, the anointing is there, and some of you people just run yourself to death. There's nothing wrong with coming to this camp or any other place. But if you're one of these people, that every time they beat on wood, you come running like a hog like at the trough. And you just got to go all the time to this. What has it amounted to in your spiritual life? Get your Bible and read through the Gospels quietly. Then you need help, reach out for it. You need assistance, reach out for it. The Bible said, let's bear one another's burden. But the same Scripture, two verses away, said, let every man bear his own burden. You stand on your own feet. God wants to reveal Himself personally to you. Normally, He can't do that through an author, a book. The Word of God in it, sure, God can bless His Word any place. It's on stone or printed or what. But see, we always run this source, that source, and we want the near cut and the short cut. If you want to follow Christ, Wear that Bible of yours out. I mean, wear it out. Wear it out. Mark it up. Mark it up. I said, this is going to be good, so I better get down to it or I won't be. All right, Isaiah, the 60th chapter, what does it say? It says this, oh my. Arise, shine. You can't shine unless you reflect the glory of God. You can't arise unless it's resurrection power. Arise and shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. What does the Aaronic benediction say? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace. But wait, and may the Lord's countenance. What's it talking about? Moses came down from the Mount Sinai and they had to put a veil over his face. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, you know why they didn't wear any clothes? All of these know it. Some of you know it. In the Hebrew, the same word for skin is light. They didn't need any clothes. Their skin was light. They were covered with light. And you'd rather be covered with the light of God than any furs or silks or anything else? But see, the devil, he came to Lucifer. He is a praise and worship leader. He said, I will. I'll do this. I'll do that. What's that going on down there on that planet Earth? So he came down. The Garden of Eden was a sky dome praise and worship center. Well, pick up your old Bible to 100 years old or so and get to Genesis 1:1. And they put a subtitle in the old Bible. Said the creation of him. God sang the worlds into existence. He didn't. And I'm singing right now. I can go over the piano. Some of you heard me say this and I'd illustrate. I can go over the piano and hit the note. I'm a musician. I've taught music. I've studied music seriously. And I play 21 musical instruments. Made over 100 recordings for leading companies, all gospel stuff. I haven't fooled with the world. Well, the world's made offers, especially when I was young. Some of them as much as you could buy a new automobile every week with the salary they'd give you and your name in bright lights. I never even considered it. I said, you embarrass me. But I can go with that piano and hit the note I'm talking in right now. You can answer and I'd find the note you're talking in. You'll never speak a word in heaven. The Bible said they're singing, holy, 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 holy. You'll sing in heaven. That's why Colossians and also Ephesians said, making melody in your heart and sing and unto the Lord. Part of it, one of those verses is for our own benefit. The other's for others that's around us. The psalmist finally didn't say, I sing a new song. He said, I am song. Well, I don't understand that. Why don't you? Someone will come and you'll say, oh, here comes trouble. And it's a person. Here it goes again. I can't get on too many of these detours and I can't straighten out everything under the sun. I'm not the one to straighten it out anyway. But the Bible is not a Western book. It's an Eastern book. You and I are products, whether they want to admit it or not. Leave off your salvation right this moment or just hold it. You and I are products of ancient Rome, ancient Greece, Europe. For 2,600 years in our thinking and deduction of thought and our reasoning and imagination, whether we want to admit it or not. But in the Mideast, they think different. I've been there 24 times. I'm not an expert. But I've met Christians in Lebanon, in Syria, in Turkey, in Jordan, in Egypt. Worship with them, attend their weddings, other things. Sometimes hold secretive meetings behind closed doors where we have to slip in two or three at a time. And if we'd been discovered, everyone else had been killed. I remember in Beirut, Lebanon, during the Civil War, it was just young people, probably 15 to 25 years old. We'd slip in, and not one bit of light could come from that building. We all sang, whispering. Then I preached in a low voice. But God has robbed mankind, the devil's robbed mankind, his song that God gave him. Your whole life ought to be a song. Everybody's going around singing a grubby move. Everybody done me dirty, done me wrong. You sound like a country singer. Now she got my pickup truck. She took me off my dog. And poor little me, pity me. What kind of song are you singing? This is a day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'll tell you, we've walked around in the natural and played religion long enough. Aren't you sick and tired of stinking religion? We got to walk out in the sovereignty of Almighty God. We've got to walk out in another world. And I said, we're babes in Christ. You say, well, Brother Clement, I'm not a babe. Well, I don't know. Baby runs around a little talk. Gimme, 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 four, gimme, four, give me. Stick with me. The most spiritual church that you ever minister in, most of that congregation, is gimme, 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 Lord, and four, gimme, four, gimme, four, gimme, four. Submit yourself to God. Give an eternal yes to God. Let go of sin, flesh, and the devil, and quit the sin business and walk out in faith and live for God. But then, well, I'm at this camp that I can do this and I can do that and God will do this for me. That's great. You need it. But I'm telling you, that's still babyhood. I'm here for my healing. You shouldn't be. You should be walking in divine health and out healing the sick yourself. I better repeat that. Me, my needs. If you're self-centered, you're not Christ-conscious. My Lord said, and as a young man, I stepped out and believed it. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I don't have to run after the things. What am I going to eat? That's what Jesus said right before that. What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? 2 days ago, the register said empty. You open the refrigerator and there wasn't any milk in there. There's two bread wrappers and they had just the heels and one or two other things. Oh, you think I called on the phone? I got to have prayer partners. Oh, pray for my... Well, if you're a little baby, go ahead. You can fast. Even a forced fast is not going to kill you. I'm living proof that Americans can live on about one-fifth or fourth of the food they inhale. I'm going to have 8, 9 hours of sleep. You think you do. You can walk with God and get your days and nights mixed up. And you can stay up hours and hours and days. You don't even know the difference. Sometimes I get 2 hours sleep, an hour and a half sleep, and get up and run 12, 16 hours. Well, now, I think I got up this morning and that arthritis came back. You remember telling about, here, Fido, come on. Your sickness disease. Well, my grandma had that lumbago in the back, and I guess it runs in the family. Keep believing and you'll have it. You say, what do you mean, Fido? Well, I hate to repeat some of these things, but I don't have any pets, but suppose you'd invite me to your place, you have a little dog called Fido. You say, Brother Clement, I say, that's a cute dog. You say, Brother Clement, cutest thing he did this morning, I wish you could have seen this, and said, Fido, come here, and all at once, he's over there asleep, but he perks up his ears. You mention his name again. He turns his head and he opens his eyes. You keep talking about Fido and what'll he do? So you keep talking about sick. Well, you know those migraine headaches I used to have years ago. I just fear those are coming back. Well, Job said, what I greatly feared came upon me. Here, Fido, come on. Come on, come on. Now, if you're an heir and a joint heir with Jesus, you obey the Lord. And He said, lay not for yourselves treasures on earth where thieves break through and steal and moss does corrupt. John Wesley said in his old age, he started off the most despised man in England. In his old age, he is the most honored individual in the in the English Empire that circled the earth. But he said about his ministers, I don't know one of our ministers. And that great holiness revival swept the world. I'm not personalizing, but I heard a minister right here in the last year belittle the holiness revival, run it down, spent several minutes. He needed put over a barrel and a board taken to his set down. It done a great work 300 years ago for God. Honor those who honor is due. I've heard people... You know this fellow very well that used to be around. He'd always belittle the Reformation. and Martin Luther. My God, these men were even burned to the stake, ostracized, put in prison, what have you. Then some little jelly bean that's not dry behind the ears. That Reformation didn't amount to much. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. That Holiness Revival, it didn't amount. My God, it swept millions of people into the kingdom of God. Some little guy chirping like that. Oh God, help us. You know, some of us don't know where we are and where we're going to go unless we know something about the true history of the Church of Jesus Christ and the blood of the martyrs. How millions of people, even by governmental records, they acknowledge that over 100 million people have died for their faith in Jesus in the last 100 years. They listed Red China and the communists 17 million, and I have the article. Red China answered and said, "We didn't kill 17 million Christians. We liquidated 67 million. So you could imagine it. There will be average of 3,000 martyrs for Christ right today while you and I are sitting here enjoying things. Well, bless God, when the devil comes in, the tribulation starts, out of here we go on the first train, snatched by the hair of her head. Now, I wouldn't be so sure of it, honey bunch." Bible said all those that live God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We as saints of God are no better than the Ethiopia Christians, the Sudan Christians right now dying, the Russian Christians, the Chinese Christians. America will pay for her sins. Over 40 million abortions with innocent blood crying unto God. Read in Genesis. Cain kill Abel and the blood cries unto God. God has to avenge that blood. Billy Graham himself said several years ago, if judgment doesn't come to America to turn us back toward God and warn us, God on the judgment day will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. God is a merciful God. We can run on a long time, but brother, you can go beyond the grace of Almighty God. I want you to notice the scripture too with me in Matthew. There's a bright side to this whole thing, and I hope you can see it. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, right before Jesus said, "Come unto me," here again, you know, a minister stand in the pulpit and say, "The blessed, humble Savior stretches out His arms and says, 'Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.'" You know what Jesus did here? You'll spend time studying, study from the right teachers, the right books. Jesus said this, "Come unto me! Get over here right now!" When He prayed over Jerusalem, He wasn't sitting there like in the films and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks." In the original language, He screamed, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem!" And you could hear Him miles away over from the Mount of Olives all the way in Kidron Valley up, and it echoed off of the walls and the stone buildings of the city of Jerusalem. I would have gathered you, but you would not. So Jesus here says, "Come unto me, and I'll give you rest." But you know what? He can't trust us. Not a one of us in this place can be trusted. I have a series of meetings. Boy, they go over big overseas. And it's on New Testament discipleship. Nothing to do with all this stuff you've heard in America. Even England receives it. But He said, "Take my yoke upon you." He breaks the old yoke, but none of us can be entrusted. And if you don't take Christ's yoke, you're running free again like a wild jackass. "Take my yoke upon you." Watch this. He said He'd give us rest, didn't He? All right, you'll find rest for your souls. But take other portions of Scripture. A building has to have a foundation. The weight of a building rests on the foundation. The kingdom of God in the spiritual world, Christ takes the burden, but He asks us to be yoked up and share some of the weight. Did you hear it? A cost nothing, feel nothing religion is a fake religion. I've had people, like young people, say, "What's this going to really cost me?" I said, "I'm glad you asked that." I said, "Everything. Everything. That old chorus they used to sing, "Take this whole world, but give me Jesus." That's exactly what it takes. He said, "He that's not for me is against me." And finally, we're either in or we're out. We're not straddle a fence all of our life. But right before this, you know what Jesus said in verse 25? "I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth." When I mention that word Lord there, reminds me of what I was talking about just a few minutes ago. You know, Jesus said, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" One of the biggest lies propagated in religion and books today is that people take Christ as their Savior, but He's not Lord yet of their life. That's not true. They may live it that way, but that's not scriptural. Romans, the 10th chapter, said, "If thou believe in thy heart and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you're saved." By that scripture, evidently, I'm not going to put people out, but you're not even saved if you don't claim the Lord of your life.
That's right.
I don't care how much you think He's a Savior saving you from hell. To be born again, you've got to acknowledge that He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord, Jehovah, God manifest in the flesh. "He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest Philip, show us the Father?" He is the Lord, Jehovah, God in the flesh. Then He is Jesus, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Then He is the Christ, the anointed of God. "The Spirit of the Lord," Jesus said, "is upon me to preach the gospel to the meek." And you better take the whole thing. You and I have, this begins with God, not your opinion, my opinion, or your church or my church. We better acknowledge He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord means He is Master of your life. Thank God He can be Lord, Master, Savior, our all and in all. Amen. "I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven, because Thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." My Lord. He's speaking to the apostles. He said, "They're still little babies. Hadn't got it all. Hadn't known it all. There's the next step of faith." Then He said this, "Even so, Father, it seemed good in Thy sight. All things delivered unto me by my Father. No man knoweth the Son, but the Father, neither knoweth the man, the Father, except the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal." If you will go in 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, I believe about verse 10, it says that no man can know the things of the Spirit. They have to be spiritually discerned. Salvation is a supernatural revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to a man's soul, spirit, mind, and even physical body. Have you ever known anyone to be saved and not feel better? Why, they're just glorious. They want to hug everybody. They want to swing everybody around. They want to shout. They want to weep. It said here that whom He will reveal. Now, in Matthew, the 10th chapter, and it's, I believe, verse 26 and 27, He said this, "Therefore there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hidden that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, speak in light. What you hear in the ear, proclaim upon the housetops." Luke says the same thing. Ministers preach that and say, "Be sure your sins will find you out." That's true, and there's other scriptures, but that's not what He's talking about. You know what God says? Every mystery of God, every secret of God is going to be known, who? By His children, the heirs and joint heirs. Did you hear? It's going to be known. Oh, someday, face to face, we'll know. Yes, but wait a minute. It said known and proclaimed from the housetop. Boy, we got a lot of catching up to do, haven't we? Oh, we know John 3:16 and Acts 2:4. Oh, boy. Jesus said, "Man shall live by a few words from God's Word. Man shall live by every word." Every word of God. Not a few. Jesus made the claim for Himself and others there in the New Testament that everything that was written by the prophets has to be fulfilled. All of it. It hasn't been fulfilled yet. God's got to have somebody on this earth that He can fulfill it in and through and by and with. So, it shall be revealed. What I tell you, speak in the light. Speak in the light. This last move of God, as I've said before, this generation is destined to know the Lord Jesus Christ more intimately than any generation that ever lived. God is going to visit this world one more time with a great move of God. This move of God, there'll be people that pray and fast, but that's not going to bring it. You know, you can't even be saved. I spent 2 weeks of my life, one time I was holding great crusades at the same time, but 2 weeks, day and night, studying God's Word on one thing, the call of God. Did you know that you can't call upon the Lord till He calls on you first? It's not him that runneth or him that willeth, it's God that does all and in all. Whosoever will may come, but God has to give you that will. In Philippians, it speaks and it says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. What? We're saved by grace. We'll read the next verse. It is God in you to do of His will and His purpose. God has to call you before you obey. You can turn that deaf ear. You can disobey. You're created a free moral agent. But the same thing. There's not enough Holy Ghost people to pray and fast and beat the floor and sing and dance to bring a worldwide revival. If the thing of Pentecost is going to do it, it's been around 100 years and it hadn't done it. The world's still going to hell.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.